All right, let's take a look. And Parshas told us. So one of the more difficult aspects which we come across every year is Yitzchak's love of Esav. Difficult to understand how exactly that fits in, what he was understanding, what he thought, and where that ties into things. So the Rosh Hashiva's piece that I'd like to address tonight is really an introduction to the next several weeks. He sees this as one long theme. As we'll see, he ties in many, many different ideas throughout the rest of Sefer Bereishis. And tonight will sort of serve, I hope, Meretz Hashem, as a introduction to that. So the psukim begin, Parsha begins with the pregnancy of Rivka, and the difficult pregnancy. They go to ask a question as to what's going on. The twins are born, and the Torah tells us, Vayigdalu ha-ne'arim. Obviously, we could spend many, many weeks on those original psukim, but we're going to be focused here. Vayigdalu ha-ne'arim, the children, the lads, grow up. Vayi-esav, ish yodei atzayid, ish sadeh. Torah defines Esav as a man who knows to hunt. He's a Yodea Tzayid, and he's a man of the field. Those are the two ways the Torah describes him, a hunter and a man of the field. V'Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalev, and Yaakov is this simple, straightforward, pure man who dwells in the tent, sits and learns. Wonderful yeshiva bachar. The Torah tells us, and Yitzchak loved Esav because tzayid, game, hunting, meat was in his mouth. Simple meaning, Rashi tells us, is that Esav fed Yitzchak, and so he got a lot of fresh steak, a lot of meat, and therefore Yitzchak loved him. The Rivko hevesas Yaakov. And Rivka, on the other hand, she loved Yaakov. So, a couple of points that we'll start out with. Number one is the idea of tzayid and sadeh. The idea of being a hunter and the idea of the field is very prominent in the descriptions here. It seems that it plays a major role that Esav was both a hunter and a man of the field, and that the Torah stresses that twice in these psukim, that that's who he was, that's why Yitzchak loves him. And the impossibility of the simple meaning of the pshat, that Yitzchak Avinu loved Esav because Esav gave him meat. That understanding defies a simple logic. Even I can't get my high school boys to love me when I give them steak. It takes more than that.
You could keep trying.
I could keep trying. They would appreciate it. But chocolate and steak just
chocolate
on different times,
steak,
right? But so to the simple meaning, Chazal didn't accept. It's impossible that kitzayid befiv just to meat. But that's the way the Torah describes it. So we have to deal with the simple meaning. Even though it's hard to stop there, that Yitzchak Avinu would love this son Esav because he was tzayid b'fiv. So let's take a look at those. Let's point. Rashi already tells us what else we need to know about this being tzayid b'fiv. Rashi tells us, as they grew up, vayigdalu ha-ne'arim, Esav kol zman shehayu ketanim lo hayu nikarim b'maaseihem. As they were young, you couldn't really tell the difference between them. They were still the same, they looked the same, they acted the same. Ein odem medaktik bohem. However, came in shenasu b'nei shloshes reishonas parosh levote midrashos parosh levodes. When they hit 13, they went their separate ways. But until that point, they really looked the same, they acted the same. You really couldn't tell the difference between them until they hit 13. What does it mean, ki tzayid b'fiv, that Esav put game in Yitzchak's mouth? Kitargumo, Rashi says, b'fiv shol Yitzchak. In Yitzchak's mouth, there was meat. Umedrisho says Rashi, however, the Medrash is befiv shel Esav, that there was game in Esav's mouth, meaning that Esav was playing games, tricking Yitzchak. Shayetzado, so he hunted, he trapped his own father, umiramehu bidvarov, and tricked him with his words, as Rashi says in the next words. What did he say? Sholu Abba, Heich ma'asrin es ha-melech v'es ha-teven. He came home from yeshiva. The Medrash expands this at length. The Medrash says, "Haya Esav bo min achot." Esav would come home and he would say to his father, "Abba ha-melech ma'u shetehe chayeves b'maiser." What's the deal with melech? Is it chay salt? Do you have to take maiser from salt? So when a person, a farmer in Eretz Yisrael, so he grows his produce, so he takes his produce into his silos, he takes off truma, he gives it to a kohen, then he takes off maaser, he gives it to a levi. It's chayev and truma, so maaser is whenever you harvest your crops, you have, before you can eat it, you have to give gifts to the kohen, to the levi, maaser sheni, maaser ani, it's a whole process. So Esav had a shayla, he came home from yeshiva one day, and he said, Abba, what about salt? Are you chayev to take maaser in salt? Says the Medrash. Hayatama Yitzchak va'oimer, and Yitzchak was amazed at this question. Now, this is a question which, if you were to ask anyone in probably 5th through 8th grade, in Eretz Yisrael maybe in 3rd grade, but here, at least 5th through 8th grade, do you need to take Maaser on salt?
No.
Say no. You didn't grow it. How do you get salt? Then you go to the ocean, you take a bucket of water, you let it evaporate, you know, salt, you go to maybe a salt. You know, Maaser or Truma, that doesn't apply to salt. Yitzchak was Tama. He's amazed at this question from his son Esav, says the Medrash. Ra'a b'ni zeh kamadikdek b'mitzvos. This is the expanded version of the Medrash that Rashi doesn't quote at full length. Look at how medakdek, how particular my son Esav is in mitzvos. V'hoya omer lo aviv, so his father said to him, b'ni, heichana isa yom hazeh. This Talmud Chacham of my son who asked this great question, where were you today? I said, Bevesa Talmud, I was learning in yeshiva. Lo kach halacha min kach v'kach, lo kach osu, lo kach hatir, and tell him over. This one said this, and this one said that, and give him a whole shiur that he heard in yeshiva today. U'mitoch dvar melo ha-yitzado befiv al kein ahavo. And therefore he fooled his father Yitzchak. That's why Yitzchak loved Esav. That's how the Medrash describes it. So we'd be left with this idea: the simple meaning of the pasuk is very difficult. That Yitzchak loved Esav because he would eat meat. Chazal say he fooled him. And how did he fool him? He asked a shaila, which Yitzchak thought was a gevaldik shaila. How do you take Maaser? Do you have to take Maaser from salt? Face of such a big Talmud Chacham, he went to yeshiva. Everybody should know you don't take Maaser from salt. This kasha, this question, had Yitzchak head over heels for his son. Gevald. What a son I have. What is it about this question? This kasha? This question is what did it for him? You wanted to tell me that a son fooled his father about who he really is. So it could come up lots of ways that he would fool him. Maybe he went to shul every once in a while. Maybe he went on time. That would really fool his father that he was like really holding. This is the shaila Chazal came up with. What Esav did is he asked about Trumos Umaisos on salt. There has to be something about this question in particular, said the Rosh Yeshiva, that there's some meaning behind that. So far, so good? I have in the box here a series of, this is like the headlines, highlights of the Parsha. I mean, the whole Parsha is a great story, but just some of the focus here. We like to think, let me first just point out, there are a number of elements of this idea of being a hunter and being in the field, the way that Esav was defined, which comes up several times in the story. Yitzchak tells in Pasuk Gimel right in the beginning, he specifically tells him, take your tools, your kalim, your bow and your arrow, go into the field and hunt for me. He gives him very great detail of how to go into the field and how he should hunt. When Yaakov eventually comes in, pretending to be Yitzchak, Vayorech es reach begodav, he smells the smell of his clothing, and he says, Rei b'ni reach, kireach hasada, the smell is like the smell of the field, and he blesses him with the blessings of the field, V'yitein l'cha lukim yital ha-shabay mi-mishmani ha-reitz, of the dew of the heavens, and of the fatness of the earth, and grain, and wine. And then when Esav comes in, who has been the one who hunted me? There's this over and over again, hunting field, that appears through the story. Okay, we like to think of Esav as a Rasha, born a Rasha, died a Rasha, destined to be a Rasha, always would be a Rasha. And the reason for that is a very famous Medrash that Rashi quotes, that Vayisrotzitzu HaBanim Mekirba, when the boys were agitating while Rivka is pregnant, so Chazal tells us, as Rashi quotes, she would walk past a Beis HaMedrash, and she'd feel a kick, and then she'd walk past a house of Avodah Zarah, and she'd feel another kick, and she was all confused. What does this mean? What kind of child am I going to have? I need therapy even before he's born. He's all mixed up. He's confused. They go seek out, and they find out they're actually going to be twins. And that's the source that we have this understanding that Esav was destined always to be evil. The Maral asks, very difficult Chazal, because the Gemara says in numerous places that there's a concept called Bechira that we have. There's a concept that the Gemara says, in fact, before a child is born, there's a Malach al Hahirayon on pregnancy, which takes the unborn fetus before the Pamalia Shalmala, before the heavenly court, and asks Tipazu Matehayalov, what's going to be about this child, and asks a series of questions as to what's going to be about the child. And the Gemara concludes, Aval Tzadik Virasha, Lo amai. There's no determination in Shemayim whether or not the child is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, because Hakol bidei shemayim chutz meir shemayim. That's up to us. So, what's the meaning of a chazal that Esav is already, before he's even born, before the Gemara says the Yetzirah is even nichnas, the Gemara says the Yetzirah only comes into a person at the birth, not in utero. So what does it mean that he's kicking to get out to Avodah Zarah? So as much as we like to think that he was predestined and determined to always be a Rasha, the source of that is a very difficult chazal unto itself that needs to be understood. More than that, Rosh Hashiva pointed out, we actually have numerous sources that show the other way. If you flip to page 2, I'd like to share the following three sources. The first is a Medrash. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Medrash, Ra'u be'eza chodesh nasati esatera. Look at what month I chose. Each month has a mazel. Each mazel has a sign or a symbol that represents that particular month. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, Kabbalah Satayra, take a look. What is the mazel of Sivan? Any guesses?
Tell me.
Very good. Next word, right? The mazel Te'umim. Excellent. The mazel of Te'umim. What are Te'umim? Twins. The mazel of the month of Sivan are twins. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, says the Medrash. You know why I chose Sivan to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael? She'im bikesh Esav harasha lizgayir velasis tshuva. That if Esav would only desire to come back home. Right now he's out. But if Esav would only desire to come home, velasis tshuva, the love of Elilmo Torah, tovov yilamenu mekabloani. I'd take him home in a second. If he only wanted it. If Esav wanted it, he'd come home. And I'd take him. And the mazel of Kabbalah Satorah, under the chuppah, Klal Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's someone not there who should be. Who has a right to be there, born of a Jewish mother who is not there. And that's Esav. And the mazel underneath the, above the stars, under the chuppah, over the chuppah, when the Torah is given to Klal Yisrael, is without Esav. And the Ribbono Shel Olam notes that and says, but if he'd want to come back, I'd take him. Gemara Kiddushin says, having a halachic discussion about a non-Jew, if a non-Jewish man dies, does his children inherit him? Is that a Torah concept? Is that rabbinic? That the monetary transfer should happen? We have lots of halachas in terms of Jewish law. When a person passes away, what happens to his estate? What about a non-Jew, the Gemara wants to know? Is that a Torah halacha that the children inherit the father? What's the deal with that? So the Gemara's looking for a source. Do we have any proof that the Torah itself says that, yeah, that's just as much a non-Jewish concept as a Jewish concept, and that non-Jewish children inherit their fathers, it's a din Torah, and whatever impact that has, it has. Says the Gemara, Nachri Yorish is Aviv Dvar Torah. Yochanan says, I hold that a Nachri, a non-Jew, should inherit his deceased father, and it's a Torah halacha. Dichsiv ki Yerusha le'esav nasati es har Seir. Torah says, Hashem Moshe says, on behalf of Hashem, I've given har Seir to Esav as a Yerusha. So you see, is Esav Jewish or not Jewish?
Not
Jewish. Esav. So we have a proof that there's a concept of a Yerusha. There was an inheritance that went to the children of Esav, Har Seir. The Torah, Moshe uses that language. Good proof, says the Gemara, right? We have a proof that a non-Jew has a concept of Yerusha like a Jew, says the Gemara. Wait a minute. V'dilma Yisrael Mumar Shiny. Shiny means it's different. What's a Yisrael Mumar? We would call a Jew who has rebelled, a Jew who has thrown away his religion. Says the Gemara, you can't bring a proof from Esav. Esav's a Yisrael Mumar. Wait a minute. I always thought the line went, like Avraham, and he had two sons, Yishmael and Yitzchak. And what do we do there? We push away Yishmael, and the line goes through Yitzchak. And then Yitzchak had two sons, Esav and Yaakov. And Esav is out, and the line goes through Yaakov. But what's when we push Esav out, meaning he's not Jewish. He's...
Jewish mother.
Yeah.
Right? He's out.
Different than Hagar.
Right? So different than Hagar. So Yishmael is born of Hagar. So when he's pushed out,
he's out.
Esav... What's that?
He wasn't
at Har Sinai, right? Which means he needs to be lehizgayir to come back. But when he's born Jewish in or born non-Jewish out. Says the Gemara, he's a Yisrael Mumar. He's a rebellious, off the derech Jew. Now, when it came to Har Sinai, he's not part of it, and therefore he's indeed not Jewish at all. But when he was born, the Gemara says you can't prove anything.
His children, he was married to
a... Correct. In other words, I want to know about Esav himself. In other words, we have a Gemara, a Chazal that Rashi quotes, which puts in our head this idea that Esav was never part of the program, was never destined to be part of the program, was kicking to get out before he was even born. He's evil and was never part of the picture. However, there are Chazals out there that imply very strongly the month the Torah was given was Te'umim, because I have another son who's not here. He's out, but if he would only come back, I'd take him back in a second. And he's a Yisrael Mumer, so you can't prove anything about non-Jews from Esav because he has his different status. Lastly, says the Rambam, is discussing the mitzvah of Milo. The Jewish people are unique status. Hamila nitztava bo Avram v'zaro bilvad. It's distinguishing between Jew and non-Jew. The Rambam, the mitzvah of Mila is a Jewish thing. Only Avraham and his children were commanded. Shene'emar ato v'zarecha acharecha. You and your children that will come after you. Yatza zaro shel Yishmael. Meaning Yishmael, they don't have a mitzvah of Mila. When Avraham was given the mitzvah of Mila, Yishmael was alive. Yishmael got a bris mila when he was 14, far more older and more difficult than Yitzchak, who was 8 days old. But that was to Yishmael alone, not to Yishmael's children. How do we know that, says the Rambam? Shenemar ki bi Yitzchak ikare lecha zara. Through Yitzchak will you be called or have your descendants. Meaning Yitzchak and not your other son, Yishmael. Ki bi Yitzchak velo bi Yishmael. V'yotza Esav, and then the Rambam says... So now I have a pasuk that it's Avram. No, Avram has several children. He has Yishmael, he has Yitzchak. So how do we know who gets this mitzvah of Mila? So he says it's Yitzchak, it's not Yishmael. Ki be Yitzchak yikari l'chazar. Only through Yitzchak. Yishmael's out. What about Esav? Esav is a child of Yitzchak. So therefore Esav should be commanded in Mila, because if it went from Avram to Yitzchak, it should go down to Esav and Yaakov, and the children of Esav should be Chayiv and Bris Mila. Says the Rambam, quoting a Gemara, V'yotza Esav, Esav is out, Shehare Yitzchak Omer Yaakov, because the bracha that we'll see shortly that Yitzchak gives to Yaakov is V'yitein luchas birchas Avram. Yitzchak passes on the Abrahamic blessing to his son Yaakov, V'chol uzarecha, to you, my son Yaakov, and to your children. So you see, Yitzchak only gave the bracha to Yaakov. Michlal, what we see from the fact that Yitzchak only gave the bracha to Yaakov, Shehu levado zaro shel Avraham, that Yitzchak himself determined, I don't have a pasuk for this, I just have the fact that Yitzchak only gave the bracha to Yaakov. Michlal, you see from here, Hu levado zaro shel Avraham, hamachzik bidato uvidarko hayishara. And what makes Yaakov in and Esav out? His behavior. I have a pasuk that Yishmael is out. The Torah says, Yitzchak, not Yishmael. You're out, Yishmael. Yitzchak has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. How do I know that Esav is out? Because Yitzchak only gives the bracha to his son Yaakov. Hamachzik bidato uvidarko hayishar. Because Yaakov followed in his ways.
How do we know that's the reason?
How did the Rambam know that?
No, the pasuk says it?
No.
No.
It's a remez from the pasuk ki bi Yitzchak velo kol Yitzchak, through Yitzchak, not all of Yitzchak.
So that is meaning so that, because in Yitzchak meaning
right. Only those which the Rambam says only those who follow in his name, vehema machuyavim, those are the ones who are machuyiv in Mila. So in effect, you take these three things together and you see it seems pretty clear.
Except he intended to give the bracha to
Esav. Well, we're gonna get there. That's what we're gonna get to. Says the Rosh Hashiva. When Esav is born, we have plenty of reason to think or to assume that Esav should have every right to have been part of the program. He's a Yisrael Mumer. He was born in Yisrael, he just went off the derech. Torah is given in a month that applies to two of the twins, and the only reason the Rambam brings why we're Mechuyev in Milo and the children of Esav are not is because Yaakov, our father, followed in the ways and Esav didn't. I don't have a pasuk that kicks him out in the same. He didn't follow in the ways, so he chose or opted out through Esav.
Yitzchak the one who...
Because he opted out. Right. Yitzchak only gives the bracha.
Yitzchak made that determination.
Correct.
There was a consequence of what Esav did.
Right.
Correct. So Shiva believed the following concept, and this is the point that he's going to develop over the next couple of weeks. He understood that there was what he called the avodas chutz and the avodas pnim, two types of avoda, two types of service that a Jew does to the Ribbono Shel Olam. One, avodas pnim, the inner sanctuary avoda, and the avodas chutz, that which is on the outside. And he defined that these terms, which he's coining, as follows. I will try to do my best to describe what I understand him to explain. The avodas pnim is the more intrinsic service that a Jew does to his Creator. It would be defined as the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash bringing a karbon, doing the other avodas within the Beis HaMikdash. It is intrinsically holy endeavors. We would define it today as Torah, Tefillah. When you're involved in Liman HaTorah, you're involved in Tefillah, you are involved in the Pnim. You're on the inside of the Beis HaMedrash, so to speak. What you are doing is intrinsically something of Kedusha. The Avodas Chutz is the Avodah that takes place outside of the Beis HaMedrash. It would look pretty mundane, like chopping wood, building a building, raising money, things which do not have any intrinsic holy endeavor, but are a partnership with the Avodas Pnim. Meaning to say, as follows, in the example that I would use, as I understand what he's saying, you might have a Beis Medrash where there's Limud HaTorah going on, and Tefillah, somebody has to pay to make sure, or raise money, to make sure that there are lights on, and that there's food to eat. Who does that? And what does it look like? Well, what that looks like is pretty mundane stuff. It doesn't look very holy, pouring over a Gemara or davening. It looks like running around, knocking on doors, and raising money, and chopping wood to build a building, and do all the things that go on to make sure they... So that would be an example of what he calls the avodas chutz. It's an outside type of avoda to support that which is taking place inside. The people inside need the support of those outside, and those outside need it. It's a relationship. What's primary? So he says there's no shyness to what's primary. If you walk into yeshiva and you say, well, here are two people. Here's the executive director and here's the Rosh Yeshiva. Which one's primary? I mean, this is a yeshiva. It's about Limud HaTorah. Can the Rosh Yeshiva function without the executive director? No, he can't, because he could sit in a cold, empty room with no lights, but he won't be able to do what he needs to do. Why does the executive director exist? He exists. There's a relationship. They both need each other. Before the sin of Adam HaRishon, when there was only Gan Eden, La'avda u'lashamra, the servicing, the avoda, was purely, as the Rashi writes, Limud HaTorah and Kiyum Mitzvahs. That's what everybody did. That's all there was. And then there was a klala of Vizayas HaPecha, Tocha Lechem, and now it's not so simple. Now, in order to be able to do what needs to be done, there's sweat, and there's toil, and there's avoda, there's work. But the work doesn't look holy. Bezeas apecha, out in the field, it doesn't look, and it's not intrinsically holy. But it is if it's supporting and partnered together with those working on the inside. And Klal Yisrael was going to require, post-Klala, after the curse of Adam HaRishon, two aspects. And there needed to be those two aspects that had to exist in order for Klal Yisrael to function. There'll be a time when Mashiach will come and everybody will sit and learn again. Okay, but we're not there. And calls to mind that we're not there, and we haven't been there since the first 3 hours of creation, and it's been a long history. There have been two aspects of Klal Yisrael, and people of different strengths. There are people whose strengths are to sit and learn all day, and the people whose strengths are to support those who sit and learn in many different ways, and all of it is Kodesh, all of it is holy, as long as it is tied into and partnered to that which is intrinsically what needs to be done. The Rosh Yeshiva believed that Yitzchak understood well that he had twins. He was the single son of Avraham and Sarah, and he had twins. And right away, the Torah defines, Esav is an ish sada yodei tzayid. He's a man who knows how to hunt. He's a man of the field. He's a man of his hands. He's a man who knows how to work. And Yaakov is an ish tam yoshev ohalim. And not for a second did Yitzchak think, I have to choose one or the other. Why would I have to choose one versus the other? I have a perfect relationship. The Ribbono Shel Olam has blessed me with twins, and Klal Yisrael will develop from here. I have a Yodei Tzayid, an Ish Sada. I have a man who knows how to work, a man who knows how to be involved, a man who knows how to roll up his sleeves and run the world. And I have a man who knows how to sit. My Yaakov is going to raise funds for his yeshiva. The man that doesn't know his left hand from his right, and he's sitting and learning all day. And it's gevaldik. But who's going to... how's this going to work? See, Yitzhak Avinu thought, Pashut, I have two sons. And they're going to have a beautiful relationship of the two types of avodas that are required in Klal Yisrael. So that you'd read the pasuk right after the number 5. This is how the Rosh Hashiva, Vayehav Yitzchak Gam Es Esav Kitzayid Befiv. Yitzchak also loved Esav because he knew how to put game in his mouth, meaning he knew how to hunt. He was a man of the field, and that's awesome. Verivka Ohev Es Rak Es Esav.
Yeah.
Yaakov. Rivka loved only Yaakov. Now, Rivka also has a nevuah that Yitzchak doesn't have. That they're going to be they're going to split. So she chose, and it was an obvious choice. Yitzchak, who is kulo kadosh, who is a karbon ola, who never leaves Eretz Yisrael, who has a kulo spirituality, only sees Yitzchak, his son Esav, for what he could be. For the ability to take that which is on the outside and connect it and combine it with that which is Kadosh. And Esav asks him a shaila. How do you take miser from salt? How do you do that, Abba? I understand when I work the field, how I'm meromeim, how I exalt my handiwork and make it Kadosh. How do I do that? Take off truma, take off miser. I take that which I can do, what I use my hands, my blood, sweat, and tears, and I make it holy. Mamish, when you separate truma, chayiv misa bidei shamayim, if you, a non-Kohen eats it, or if a Kohen eats it when he's come, it is, you have made it so holy, you die if you eat it when you're not allowed to eat it. How do I do that with salt? He's asking a shayla. Yitzhak heard in the shayla, how do I exalt? How do I put in the world of Kedusha? I want to do so many things out there in the world, but there are things that I don't know how to make sanctified. How do you do that? How do you take something that was already there that I didn't use my... but I want to make it also. Yitzhak is Tama. He says, he's looking to like put his hands on everything and bring it into the world of Kedusha. And Yitzhak is fooled by that. Yitzhak is fooled by that. But he thinks, correctly so, that Esav had a role in Klal Yisrael. And Chazal agree with him that he had a role. He's a Yisrael Mumer. He left. He opted out, and he fooled his father in opting out. But his father, in thinking so, understood. Take a look at the bracha that he gives. So Yaakov comes in, and Yaakov dresses up as his brother Esav. Pasuk Chav Zayin back in the box on the first side. Vayigash, Vayishaklo, and Yitzchak smells him, and he smells the Reach Hasada, which he thinks is, of course, his son Esav, who's a man of the field, and he smells Gan Eden, but it's a Reach Hasada. And there are two V'yitein Luchas, there are two blessings that Yitzchak is going to give Yaakov. The one that he gives him when he thinks he's giving the bracha to Esav is the first one. And what does he actually bless him with? In Pasuk Chav Ches, he's thinking he's giving this to Esav. V'yitein Lucha Elokim Mital HaShomayim Mishmanei HaAretz V'Rav Dagon V'Sirosh. It's a bracha of Gashmias. It's a bracha of the fat of the earth and the dew of the heavens. He never was fooled into giving Esav the bracha of Avraham, because it's clear which the primary role was going to be, his son learning all day, but Esav had a role too, and I'm going to bless you with what you need to succeed, which is all the blessings that this world has to offer, and you should be blessed with that. Yavducha Amim, all the nations of the world should serve you, and you will be powerful, those who curse you. It's a blessing of prosperity. When he's fooled, Vayecharad Yitzchak Charadah Gedolah, he realizes this is a mistake. Mi Eifa Hu Hatzad Tzayid. Who is the one who has now hunted game? What does Yaakov do to get this bracha. What is it a bracha of? Yaakov is right now playing the role of the guy sitting and learning all day, and his mother says to him, this isn't going to work, your brother has opted out. You need to take that bracha too. So Yaakov needs to play the role of a man of the earth. He needs to play the role of somebody who can manipulate, can deal with things. I need to take both for myself now. I was going to just be the role of, I'm going to sit and learn and have nothing to do with anything, but my brother's out, so I need to take that. So he goes and fools his father, dresses up, the whole thing. Father says, who has been tzad, who has now hunted this game for me? Story continues, and just skipping to the parts that we need, Rivka then says, you know, this is a bad situation. She says to her husband, Yitzchak, we need to send Yaakov away, which he does. Pasuk Gimel, the last end of the Bak, Perach of Ches, Pasuk Gimel, Kel Shakai, Yivarech, Oskov, Yifrachov, Yarbecha, Vayisu lekahalam, you should be blessed. V'yitain lechon, here's the second bracha, Es Birchos Avraham, Lecho ulezarecho itach. And now Yitzchak gives a second bracha, and this is the bracha of Avraham, Shenasan Olkim Avraham, which was a bracha that he had never intended on giving to Esav, because that wasn't for Esav. That was the bracha that was going to always be, and was indeed intended for Yaakov. But Esav was going to get the bracha of the prosperity, that just wasn't going to be for him. One last thought, we'll tie it up for tonight. The Gemara makes a very interesting connection between the Shnei Gdiyei Zim that Rivka tells Yaakov to take. Take two little goats, which is quite a lot of meat for an elderly man. A lot of meat. Yeah. I mean, I don't think one person could eat, I don't care how small the kid is. That's just a lot of meat. So if I thought two, so Chazal make a connection. Where else do we have two Se'irim that are exactly the same? So Chazal connected to Yom Kippur. The Alkut says it as follows. Lechna latzon v'kachlo misham shnei gidei izim tovim. Tovim lecha v'tovim levanecha. It'll be good for you and good for your sons. Tovim lecha shal yideim atanot alasa bracha. So it's going to be good for you, my son Yaakov, because through these two sheep, you'll get the brachos. V'tovim levanecha shal yodom miskaper lehem v'yom ha-kippurim. Through them, they'll be niskaper the shnei sirei zim. One's going to be sent lazazel, one sent to the Beis HaMikdash as a karban, kodesh l'Hashem. And the Gemara says, the two sirim on Yom Kippur, mitzvosan shiyuhu shneim shovin b'mare, they have to be exactly the same in appearance. Shovin b'koma, they have to be the same size. Shovin b'damim, they have to be the exact same amount when you purchase them, a value. Uvali kichosan ka'echan, you have to take them at the same time. They have to be, in other words, twins. The shnei sirei zim that you take on Yom Kippur have to be twins. They have to be the same value, they have to look the same, same height, taken at the exact same time. And what do we do with these two twins? They get separated by a goral. It's total luck of the lot. One goes lazazel, one goes kodesh l'Hashem as a karban. What are they niskaper for? So the Gemara says, the karban l'Hashem is niskaper al the kohanim, who are mishamish betuma, who bring tuma into the Beis HaMikdash b'shogeg, who don't realize they inadvertently either eat truma betuma, or they're metama a korban, and it's for to be mechaper al klai yisol shebisados, on the Jewish people who are out there in the fields working. And Chazal connect these two gediei zim that Yaakov is going to take while he steals the avodas chutz, which belonged to his brother Esav, which Esav opted out of, and Yaakov now needs to take for himself. And those same, in his act, Chazal see the same thing of, we're now going to take two other twins, split them apart, they look exactly the same, could have been either way. Either one of these two goats could have gone, one kodesh Hashem, one lazazel. The luck of the draw split them up, and they're niskaper for that which takes place in the Beis HaMikdash, and that which takes place, Klal Yisrael Shebesados, out there in the fields, connecting the two types of avoda that are all now part of Klal Yisrael, all through Yaakov, through the twins, who could have shared the role, except Esav opts out, and Yaakov has to steal by being a person who can steal to say, hey Abba, I can do this too. It's not only Esav who knows how to be an Ish Sada. I also now have to be, and I will be. and now takes both of these forms for himself. And that is the Hakdama for what we'll see Mirat Hashem with the story of Rachel and Leah, which will be a continuation of this approach, as Rosh Hashiva sees it, of the what should have been one large family that now gets taken by Yaakov, and how that's going to then impact everything that happens from here on out. But that's basically a long introduction to what Rosh Hashiva will talk about in the coming weeks. Okay.
How is it that
Oh, so the Rosh Hashiva learned, the Maral has his approach, the Rosh Hashiva learned that it was, they're drawn to where their avoda in life is going to be. In other words, when they pass the Beis HaMedrash, Yaakov is like, that's where I belong. The Rosh Hashiva learned, and this is his Torah, this is not so simple, passing the Makom Avodah Zarah represents the Ish Sada of the conquering of the world and bringing it into the realm of Kedusha, of he saw his place was out there where it's dark, and conquering that and bringing it into a place of light, so to speak. So that he was drawn to it, not as it can't be drawn to it. He learned it's the Tzadik of Russia is not determined beforehand. So it was just that he was drawn to where he saw his life's work would be, not necessarily in the sense as an Avodah Zarah, which he later chose, but that he knew that that's where his place would be to do his Avodah. That's how he learned.
There's more inclination to Avodah Zarah.
An inclination to knowing, like, this is where my life's task lies. Like, I'm, like, drawn to where I need to be. But he learned it can't be as a Rasha, because that's not determined. It's too early to say that. It's just that it's a chiddush to say that, but that's how he learned that particular medrash. Lots of people talk about that. It's a tough chazal to understand because Tzadik v'Rasha is not determined. So how do we learn him already kicking at Avodah Zarah? If there's no Yitzhahara, it's before it could be determined. But anyway, that's how he learns.
It's very significant ramifications, just like Ben Ritzman had that in the book.
Right, Rivka has a nevuah, which it seems Yaakov never got. But even that, when she gets a nevuah as to what's going to happen, so when she sees at 13 them go their separate ways, it's an easy choice for her. It's taka one or the other. But Yitzchak, who never thought, why would he ever think he has to choose? These are both my sons. Of course they're both going to be part of Klal Yisrael. And it was clear, he's an Ish Sadeh, he's an Ish Tabeh. They're both going to play their respective roles. And because Esav knew how to fool him with that, did a good job of...
They weren't like identical twins.
No, well, Rav Hirsch learns they were, just one was hairy. Rav Hirsch learns they were identical twins, one was had a redder complexion and hair, but in terms of if their appearance was identical twins. Those identical twins can have a little different complexion, we would therefore be able to identify them, but their facial features, he learns they were mamish twins. Identical twins in every way, except for a reddish hue and more hairy.
Well, that would be not identical.
I'm saying, but the facial features. In other words, if Yaakov would have gotten a sunburnt, they would have looked the same.
Right.
Their features were exactly the same.
Right.